Good morning. My name is Eileen Wells. I am the council representative for June, and we welcome you to Pentecost worship with us this morning. Today we celebrate God forming the church and pouring out the Holy Spirit onto us. May we sense the Spirit's fire and breath directing us always. Welcome to worship, no matter where you are in your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The sermon this morning is titled, To Be Continued, by Pastor Jan. Vacation Bible School is going to start tomorrow, June 9th through the 12th. Vacation Bible School Le Sueur is a community effort between the United Methodist Church, First Lutheran Church, and Zion United Church of Christ. Beginning tomorrow, but it is not too late for you to register. You can still register when you get here tomorrow morning. Please keep the participants, leaders, and volunteers in your prayers throughout this week. The Vacation Bible School kickoff will take place starting at 3 o'clock today, this afternoon, with juggler and inspirational speaker Luke Winger. A meal will follow his program with an opportunity to meet the Green Lake Lutheran Ministries Camp counselors who will be leading Vacation Bible School this year. All are welcome, and please come and join the fun. The church council will meet in the conference room at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, June 10th, for the June meeting. The men's and women's breakfast fellowship will meet on Wednesday, June 11th at 8 a.m. at the Nicollet Cafe in St. Peter. The Ruth Circle will not meet in June. The next meeting is Tuesday, July 8th. And be sure you circle this date on your calendar in red. On Sunday, June 29th, that's 2 weeks from today, 3 weeks from today, the Zion Fellowship will host as ice cream social following the worship service. There will be vanilla ice cream and lots of toppings. Please come and enjoy this time with us. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
Good morning. The Strengthen the Church offering furthers the work of our conference and the National United Church of Christ as we work together to strengthen and renew existing congregations, fund leadership development, and provide exciting new programs for youth and young adults. The offering is divided with 50% staying within our conference and the other 50% supporting national ministries. One example would be the Reverend Daniel Cooperrider has always had a passion for connecting spirituality and nature. After watching churches during the pandemic years experiment with how to worship outside of the context of a church building, he recognized that others shared his hunger for outdoor, nature-based spiritual community. Alongside his spouse, the Reverend Julia Berkey, Cooperrider responded to the Spirit's call and decided to invite others to join in this yearning. In the fall of 2023, Flickr Wild Church gathered for the first time. This community, found in various outdoor landscapes outside of Madison, Wisconsin, embraces the expansiveness of God's presence in creation and the movement of spirit in the movement of the seasons. Scripture, poetry, movement, Meditation and song ground their worship practices with a, quote, wild wander in place of the sermon. Flicker Wild Church invitation to worship is not just in nature, but with nature and to be in spiritual relationship with the more than human world has offered hospitality to those who might be unlikely to step into the traditional church building. Today we will be collecting for the strengthening of the church. Thank you very much.
It was the start of the Feast of Harvest, also known as Pentecost, and the disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a violent wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what looked like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. At this same time, there were other Jews from many lands staying in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. They also heard this sound and the sound of the disciples, and they all gathered together in bewilderment. Each one had heard their own tongue being spoken, and yet the ones who were speaking were not from their lands. They were hearing these Galilean disciples of Jesus declare the wonders of God in their own languages. Some were amazed, some perplexed, and still some were doubtful. So the disciple named Peter stood and began speaking the gospel to the crowd, telling them of Jesus, of his death and resurrection, proclaiming him as both Lord and Messiah. He called on those who had gathered to repent and be baptized, so they too could receive the Holy Spirit. Many accepted his message, and thousands were added to their number that day.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you please join with me now in our call to worship? With the winds at their backs, they entered Jerusalem only to watch him die on a cross. But on the third day, the Spirit of God breathed new life into him and into our future. 40 days with the risen Jesus. Before his ascension, Jesus reminded us that the Spirit will come, Pentecost. It was on that day when a mighty wind breathed life and hope into each and every one of us and believers all over the world. Let us pray. Sacred breath of life, move through this room, through this community, and through this world. Unlock a song within your people. Breathe into us your hopes and dreams for a world filled with justice, love, and peace. Amen. Will you please rise now as you are able and join together in our opening hymn, As a Fire is Meant for Burning.
Thank you. Spirit of God moves among us, let us now pray together in that spirit with confidence in God's love toward us. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we confess to you that even after worship, we lose heart. Sometimes, even before we leave the sanctuary, our hearts, words, and actions are not true reflections of who we claim to be. In your mercy, forgive us. O God, make us aware of your presence, that wonder may have its way with us, and our souls renewed in the depths of your holiness, until for a moment our longing for you is fulfilled, and we know that we are really free to share from our abundance, to laugh and exchange mercy, to be at ease in our struggles, bold in our loving, brave in our fears, hopeful in your kingdom, joyful in our living, and graceful in our becoming. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, listen to these words of forgiveness and peace from John chapter 20. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive now the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Friends, this is the good news to us on this day of Pentecost. May it be a blessing in our hearing. Amen. God's own forgiven people, set free from the power of sin and death, let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This morning, before we begin our time of prayer, I'd like to draw your attention to the banner with the Holy Spirit printed on it. This is our new Pentecost banner, given anonymously in memory of the Reverend Dr. Lisa Pinney Johnson. Lisa's service will take place in Rochester at Peace United Church of Christ this coming Friday at 11 a.m. I know that you will hold her entire family in your prayers this week. Will you please join with me now in prayer? Lord God, we thank you for taking on flesh in Christ Jesus, for the Holy Spirit that gives us life, for the treasure you've set within us and the power you fill us with. We thank you, God. And we thank you for the fruit we bear when we are grafted into your holy vine. On this Pentecost Sunday, we pray for the unity of all those who trust in you, that we may all be united and together overcoming so many divisions to which we've been subjected by those who believe themselves to be masters of this world. Help us, O God, to unite, to establish your kingdom of righteousness, justice, and peace. Our struggle, God, is not between the Christians and the atheists or some other religion. Our struggle is against the powers and principalities of this world. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you breathe health and hope into the hearts of all who suffer from pain or the inconvenience of recovery. For those who are now recovering from surgery, for those who are undergoing medical care of any kind, especially, Lord, we pray for Marilyn Johnson and Stu Kringen, and grant refreshment to their spirits, Lord. Restore them to us, to the routines of their day with all who love them. Bless those who care for them, especially those who research these diseases and these difficulties and whose skill brings new hope to those who are afflicted by disease. Good and gracious God, we lift up to you in prayer the family of Pastor Lisa Pinney Johnson. We thank you for the gift of her life, her love of family, her passion for the church, the gift of her intelligence and warmth, and the triumph of her faith in the face of suffering. Grant to all who mourn her loss the presence of your Holy Spirit to guide them in their sorrow, to bestow on them the gift of peace, a peace that passes all human understanding. And grant to them joy in the assurance of our salvation through the suffering, dying, and rising of Jesus. And we pray this day, O God, that in seeing and hearing as you want us to see and hear, visions of goodness in this world, may we be the ones who are also up and doing as you call us to do, that we may be your witnesses to the ends of the earth. Blessed indeed be your name this day and always, and blessed be your church, that all praise and glory and honor may come to you through Christ, our brother and Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
John chapter 14, verses 18 through 27. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I will give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The word of God for the people of God.
A reading from the book of Acts, the second chapter. The book of Acts is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word. Amen. Will you join with me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations that are on all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, in a recent medical study, researchers discovered that going to church is actually good for your health. The conclusions from that study state, and I quote, "Frequent attendance at religious services was associated with significantly lower risk of all major diseases. Going to church may be an underappreciated resource that physicians could explore with their patients as appropriate." So, in light of this research, let me just say to all who are here this morning, congratulations. I'm so glad you decided to extend your life by coming to church this morning here in this place. Let me cut right to the chase this morning. From the opening lines of the book of Acts, which we read last week, the disciples were pressing Jesus for answers just before he ascended into heaven. They wanted Jesus to tell them when the end times would come. And Jesus reminded them, "It is not for you to know." But Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus promised that they were going to receive a new power, a new language that would enable them and equip them to go out into the world. They'd receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, Jesus said, they would be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, to the very ends of the earth. Now think about this for a moment. At that time, Le Sueur, Minnesota was just an uncharted wilderness. As you drive past the towns here in southern Minnesota, can you even picture what that time would have been like? What it was like without those beautiful farm fields and the rows of green coming up neat and tidy, all the highways that we take for granted, the grain elevators popping up. Even the continent of North America was totally unknown to the disciples, totally unimagined. And yet this morning, here we are. The people of Zion United Church of Christ on Pentecost Sunday 2025, 2,000 years later. Our church, in fact, every church for that matter, is the fulfillment of that promise Jesus delivered to the disciples. You and I are living proof that on the day of Pentecost, the followers of Jesus were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Callie, I love that picture of you up there. There were some awkward beginnings, though, for the church, weren't there? The day of Pentecost arrived, and the disciples were still in the upper room, lost in their thoughts, talking quietly amongst each other, waiting for a sign. And then in the next minute, literally out of the blue, came this sound. The sound like the rush of a violent wind, as Luke described it. And the disciples rushed outside. As they were gathering there, the disciples and the other Galileans were met by people from all over the world. They started speaking in different languages. And the crowd that was gathered there were suddenly able to hear each in their own language. And they said, how is this even possible? We hear each one of us in our own native language. Now, every holy day in the Christian church has one thing in common. The barrier between God and God's people has been overcome. Of course, I believe that every religion on earth has something important to say about the meaning of life. But no religion, no other religion on earth, has ever been able to say that God actually bursts through human history and speaks to us through our personal lives. It's amazing, isn't it? In Christianity, God is breaking into creation, breaking into human life to reclaim it and transform it. At Christmas, God breaks the barrier separating us and becomes one of us. At Easter, God breaks the power of sin and death. At Pentecost, God's power and presence broke through the lingering fear of the disciples. In all these ways, and so many, many more, God has stopped at nothing to open up for us a pathway to his heart. But that declaration of agape, God's unconditional love, that hasn't stopped some people from terrorizing and shaming people with the threat of being thrown into the fire of torment and that old-fashioned word, damnation. For some of those people, God's incredible power is a force for retribution and fear and guilt. And sadly, folks, that actually works with some people. But I so appreciate what Brian Pearson, a seminary professor, had to say about this. I'm quoting here. If the pouring out of the Spirit had meant punishment and condemnation, then perhaps you and I could just sit back and let the rest of the world go to heck in a picnic basket. But Luke interprets the giving of the Spirit to the church not as a rejection of the world, but as the sign that God intends to reach out and reclaim it. End of quote. You see, Pentecost was the first an unmistakable sign of God's plan to send out witnesses into the world who understood and accepted and celebrated the incredible diversity and inclusion of all God's people. This was a miracle of barriers being broken down, the unambiguous and crystal clear evidence that God's reign on earth is rooted deeply in our unity. And I love that about the United Church of Christ, that the hallmark scripture passage that is quoted on the emblem of their logo says that they all may be one. Now, of course, there's a catch. You and I are the continuation of this miracle. You and I are the living proof of that unity. And let's not allow these strange things happening in the book of Acts seem so weird that we miss that important truth. I hope that you'll spend some moments today in reflection and gratitude that one day, a long, long time ago, your ancestor, my ancestor, was greeted one day by a stranger from a foreign land, a stranger who had received the Holy Spirit of the living God. Maybe they were back in Norway or Jamaica or Poland. Maybe they were back in Germany or Scotland or Spain. Somewhere way back in time, our ancestors were brought to their knees in recognition that Christ had died for them. And despite their different languages and different customs and wildly different life experiences, the gift of understanding, the gift of that language, came to them. And it flooded down through history, through all the centuries, to where you're sitting today. And yet this day of Pentecost, the day we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, really often slips by without much notice. I hope when you walk outside today and feel the breeze or the wind on your face, that it will call to mind those distant ancestors of yours. The ones who came to accept that wondrous love of Christ. Now, maybe you don't remember who your ancestors are. That's okay. Somebody along the way gave you the gift of faith. But don't expect tongues of fire. Don't expect that you're suddenly going to start speaking in tongues. If you're open to it, though, you will receive the Spirit of God. It may not look like the second chapter of Acts. You may not go up to the Arctic Circle or down the Amazon River. You may not even get as far as Arlington. Maybe the farthest reaches of your world will be somebody in your family. Maybe your neighbor down the street. Those may be the distant lands to which you're called. And so, like our ancestors who had to learn a new language and new ways of living, that's what receiving the Holy Spirit is like for us. For Christians, this moment comes in all our lives when we start to hear and understand a new language, the language of the living God. You know how you know that? Because we begin to comprehend things that once seemed so strange and foreign to us. And hopefully, as we grow in that knowledge, our hearts and our minds also open up to new possibilities for service. We may start to have a new reverence, a new respect and awe for the things that we were taking for granted all our lives. And although this is a new language for us, somehow it should seem familiar, as if we've known it all our lives, born as we are in the image of God. Then we know that our most heartfelt longings are heard, that we are seen, that our hearts can be filled with hope, and we come to realize one of the most important truths of all time. We human beings, in all our diversity, are much more alike than we are different. We laugh, we cry about the same things. Go wherever you want to in this world. People work, and they want to understand the meaning of their work. They want to know that they can love somebody and that they are loved as well in return. And folks, that's Pentecost too. Not necessarily like that one that came to the disciples that day in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago with all that happy noise of 3,000 people coming to believe. But you'll have your Pentecost. A Pentecost that's deeply personal, life-changing. One that is all-consuming. Your Pentecost may come to you in very quiet ways. It may happen when you hold your child or your grandchild or a niece or a nephew in your arms for the very first time. And you come to understand that this isn't just your own long hoped for miracle, but the fulfillment of every single parent who's ever lived. Maybe you'll feel that On your way to the barn, you experience a sunrise like no other. The sun coming up in a certain way that shows you an incredible display of light and color. And you see that it's actually controlled by the power of God and by the rotation of the earth on its axis in a universe that's been created by God's design. And more than that, it may occur to you then that some other farmer on the other side of the world has witnessed that very same spectacle just hours before you did. You'll know the Holy Spirit is in you when the birds are no longer just singing. The birds are declaring, proclaiming the very presence and voice of God. The children aren't just playing and laughing, but they're giving us a glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven is really like. And then we come to understand that although God's been working on us, speaking to us for 20 years or 60 years or 90 years, that we are at long last fluent in God's special language. These and 100,000 other miracles are Pentecost as well. The understanding that God's way is to command us to carry on, to share it with generations that follow after us. Now, it's easy to see this picture in Pentecost in the book of Acts with all those dancing tongues of fire and people looking like they're intoxicated and that wind roaring all around them, and come to the conclusion that, well, God's all done now. That's behind us. And nothing could be further from the truth. Because you see, Pentecost is more than just wind. It's more than fire and sounds. It's power. And because that power flows from the Spirit of God, who is love itself, it cannot, it will not be limited to just one single day in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It's here. And it's our turn now. Because wherever there's understanding, wherever there's generosity and patience and courage and truth, the Spirit of God is dwelling there. And by the grace of God, the church will continue to be continued. This morning when you came in, you were given a white postcard and I hope a little pencil. Before we receive the offering today, I want you to write the name of your ancestor. In fact, if you can name the most distant one farthest back, that's great. And if you can't remember it, that's okay too. You can put down your mom or your dad or your grandparent. And then I want you to write your own name. And right after that, I want you to write down someone in the future generation that you would like to be blessed with the Holy Spirit. So we start with the past, your ancestor's name, your name, and then who you would like this gift to carry on to. The instructions are up there on the screen. Now, just so you know, you keep writing. You can put these cards in the offering plates this morning. And I'd like to take a look at those and share these stories with the rest of the congregation. Our ancestors came from all over this planet, and here we are today. That's cause for rejoicing. I'd like to invite the ushers forward with the morning offering. Living God, you have been preparing the way for us throughout time. You sent prophets and apostles to guide us. On this day of Pentecost, we celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes confused, but often in awe, we watch the everyday miracles experienced all around us. All things are possible with you, O God. We pray that this offering will further the hope you have given us in Christ and extend possibilities for healing and justice in our world. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join together now in our closing hymn, Spirit of Gentleness.